We know that currently we are meditating upon a series called Bible, declaring the whole counsel of God according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Apostle Paul was very clear in being able to declare the whole counsel of God. In some other translations, it says the whole purpose of God. What is the purpose of God? When we read the Bible, we need to be able to understand the purposes of God, because even in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose, His purposes. Unless and until we know His purpose, His will in our lives, we will not be able to experience God in a manner that He wants us to experience. We may just be called believers in Lord Jesus Christ, but that is not sufficient. We need to be able to have a life that is hidden in Christ, a life that is experiencing the power of resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, even through the Old Testament, we will be able to understand many truths. As we continue our series, we are now in the book of Joshua. From the beginning, we were meditating each book and learning the whole counsel of God. And as we do that, we have stopped in the beginning chapters of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, the first five chapters talk about the entrance into the promised land, entry into the promised land, crossing the Jordan River. As we have been meditating on the fact that every believer in Lord Jesus Christ should have the experience of crossing the Red Sea as well as crossing the Jordan River, in order to be able to experience the fullness of life that God has given us, to be able to experience the victorious Christian life. We do not want to continue to wander in the wilderness. We want to be able to experience the conquering Christian experience. And for that, from chapter 6 onwards, we've been meditating upon the victorious Christian life. We started off, but we didn't finish it last week. And we are going to, God willing, complete what we started last week. The title of that particular sermon last week was More Than Conquerors. More Than Conquerors. Please join with me in reading those verses that we read last week as well from the New Testament to understand the Old Testament. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 altogether, please, as it is in your sermon notes as well. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because of the love He has shown towards us. Through Him who loved us, none other than Jesus Christ. In all situations, read Romans chapter 8. It talks about His whole purpose. It talks about the kind of persecutions we come across in our lives. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, my dear. Remember that. And that is where you and I may be able to really enjoy the Christian life that God has given us. Not just saying that I'm born again, I'm done with it. And still we are not able to show forth the victorious Christian life because we may be experiencing defeated lives. We may be experiencing defeated lives. And you and I want us to be able to experience the victorious Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, altogether, please. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory that comes through Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us victory. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as well. As I was mentioning in the past sermons as well, when you read the book of Joshua, please read the book of Ephesians as well. Because they are kind of related in terms of understanding how to be a victorious Christian. As much as the book of Joshua talks about being a victorious Christian in a physical realm, in a physical promised land that was given to them, to be able to enter into the promised land and to be victorious, as much as Joshua, the book of Joshua talks about it, the book of Ephesians talks about the promises of God, no doubt about it. Just like there was a promised land, there are promises of God. Read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Talks about the wonderful experiences we have in Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us. He forgave us. He has redeemed us. He has sealed us. He has given us an inheritance. As much as the book of Joshua talks about an inheritance of the promised land, he has given us an inheritance of an eternal life. Book of Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 talks about it. And while we read about that, it also talks about how to be able to put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to face the attacks of the enemy. Book of Ephesians chapter 6 talks about it. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and stand to be able to withstand the wiles of the evil one. In that, one of the verses, a couple of verses that I wanted to show you also last week, we have meditated upon it. Please join with me in reading the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 altogether, please. And you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about the wonderful experience of a believer in Lord Jesus Christ. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but he made us alive. And many times, though we say that Christ died for me, we are not able to experience the fact that Christ was risen for me, because we are not crucified with Christ. We are still living a life of defeat. The world that attracts us, the enemy, the prince of this power of the air, who is none other than Satan or the devil. And another enemy is our self or flesh. These are the three enemies that are attacking us, so much so that we are not able to be victorious in our lives. We claim that we are born again, but we are unable to be victorious Christians, my dear. I hope this will really trigger us to be able to be careful to win over these three enemies: the world, the devil, and our flesh. If we can be victorious over these three, it will really enable us to have an abundance of life that God has given us, to be able to experience Christ in our lives. We won't be just, kind of Christians who just want to go to church, come back, done with it. I'm doing some traditional things, prayer, Bible reading, and attending church. No, we are able to experience Christ in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit that he has given us, to experience his power in our lives to win over the evil one. When we are born again, the Bible says we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 talks about it. But when we have the gift of our Holy Spirit of God within us, if we just keep him a resident of our life and not a president of our life, we will be leading a defeated life. We just say, yes, do you have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? Yes. But do you have the power of the Holy Spirit of God? That is a question you and I need to ask. Do we have the power of the Holy Spirit of God who controls us? Not just being able to be morose Christians, but to be able to be victorious Christians, joyfully being able to say, yes, I'm a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, and he is giving me victories day after day. We have meditated upon two things already. Please join with me in filling these points if you haven't. I don't know if you still have last week's sermon notes. Now you see the importance of keeping your sermon notes. Please, we have meditated upon world from Jericho chapter 6, and how we should walk by faith against doubt. We should shout out, for the Lord has given. We have to claim what God has given. That is what being able to be victorious over world is. Jericho is a representation of the world. And before they were able to capture Jericho, they shouted out and said, "The Lord has given. We need to claim victory before we occupy the place." That is what the world signifies. World and it's the pleasures of this world, the attractions of this world. Only by faith we should be able to claim victory over the attractions of this world. Faith brings victory. And then we have meditated upon flesh. How Achan, some people pronounce it, he was so much of having temptation in his life that he took some of the spoils of Jericho and brought to himself, and that caused initial defeat for the people when they tried to go after Ai. And then the Lord revealed that Achan was the one who is the cause of the defeat, and they had to remove those things from within in order to be able to be victorious. Achan is a representation of the flesh, the attractions of the flesh. And then we saw how Joshua, he stretched out his sword. As long as he stretched out his sword against Ai, there was victory. Sword represents the word of God. Sword represents the word of God. As much as you focus your attention on the word of God, as much as you have faith, it gives you victory. As much as you focus on the word of God and stretch the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, which is the word of God, that brings us victory. Please turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. That was where we stopped. Joshua chapter 8. We stopped there. And in this Joshua chapter 8, we see that till 29, it talks about the victory over Ai. And from verse 30 to 35, there is something that has happened in between. Before they go on to the next enemy, there is something that happened between Joshua chapter 8 and chapter 9, from verses 30 onwards. Please join with me in reading through it. As we see in verse 30, it says, "Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, has commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man has wielded an iron tool, they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings." And then we see in verse 33, "All Israel with their elders, officers, judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, has commanded." Then Joshua read the words of the law in verse 34, the blessings and the curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before the assembly of Israel. There was not a word. Joshua reiterated the covenant. Joshua reiterated the law. Not one word he did not read of all the assembly. He made sure that everything is read out. They did not have copies. So he had to read it, and he read the word of God. You see here in this map, it's a familiar map for most of us now by now. These people of Israel passed from Shittim to Gilgal. And in chapter 6, they went to Jericho and had a victory over Jericho. And then they went to Ai in chapters 7 and 8. Then they finally became victorious at Ai. Before they go to another place called Gibeon, they went up to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, two mountains. Moses tells these people ahead of time in the book of Deuteronomy to go to those mountains and half of them on each of those mountains and read the blessings and the curses. Mount Ebal, read the curses. Mount Gerizim, read the blessings. That is how they should be. So here, if you see, it is up in the north. By the way, Gilgal was their camping place. Every time they went and captured the various cities, they come back to Gilgal. Gilgal is the place where they were preparing themselves for the next victory. Gilgal was a place where they were preparing themselves for the next victory, my dear. One victory causes the enemy to cause more temptations. For that, we need to be able to be equipped so much so before we face the next enemy. And here we see they went to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. There is a city in between which is called Shechem. Shechem is a city that is in between both the mountains. Shechem is repeatedly used. Abraham, when in the book of Genesis, Jacob, he was there and there was a Jacob's well in that area. Many, many things have happened. I'll show you a picture of this particular mountains so that you can have a visual picture of this. Please see this. Here we see Mount Gerizim. This is one mountain. This is another mountain called Mount Ebal. By the way, when Jesus was on this earth, he traveled to those places, and you might be familiar of a place called Sychar. It is in a place called Samaria. During Jesus' time, there was Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. That is how it was divided. So this particular map, the Judea was on the southern side, the central side was Galilee, and the northern side, central side was Samaria and Galilee. So this Samaria was the place. Jesus traveled through Samaria, the Bible says. Most of the Jews, they used to go from Judea to Galilee through the Jordan River on the other side, but never wanted to go through Samaria because there were mixed congregation there. And that was where Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim was. And if you see this picture, there is Shechem here, there is Sychar, there's a Jacob's well on the left here. And it seems they built a temple there, Samaritan temple. This is a picture. Mount Ebal was a place, if you see, out of the two mountains, Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30, it says, you know where the altar was built? The altar was built on Mount Ebal. Mount Ebal, they were to pronounce curses. And that is a place an altar had to be built so that people may not experience curses. So that they may experience Mount Gerizim. And that is where the Samaritans went ahead and built a temple there. But if you see here, this particular aspect of the story, the mountain of curses was where the altar was built. It is a representation of an altar or a sacrifice that had to happen where the curses were. Jesus Christ became a sacrifice. He took the curses so that we may experience the blessings. Mount Ebal was taken up by Jesus Christ when he died for us on the cross. An altar was built, in other sense, a sacrifice was made for the curses so that you and I may be able to experience the blessings of Mount Gerizim. So the Samaritans, we will look at it, God willing, at a later point of time when we go to the book of John, when we are going to relook at this particular story of the Samaritan woman. When she refers, John chapter 4, please keep your finger here in Joshua chapter 8, John chapter 4. Very familiar one, many times during the worship time we keep remembering it, where Jesus passes by Sychar. Verse 4, John chapter 4 and verse 4. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And you know the story after that. Jesus was thirsty and he asked the woman for water. And then Jesus tries to reveal her personal life. When Jesus told her to bring her husband, instead she tried to divert the attention, and she says in verse 19, the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Because there was a temple on Mount Gerizim, the Samaritan temple. These Samaritans used to go there. They were not allowed as much to go to Jerusalem temple. And so she was referring to Mount Gerizim because they thought that is the place of blessings. And so she was referring to that mountain, this mountain. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Do you see that? The reference of it. Sometimes it is so important for us. Sometimes we won't really be able to appreciate the word of God until and unless we try to see what exactly was going on by referring to the Old Testament. You see that? Old Testament explains the New Testament. It reveals many things. And here we see, and then Jesus says in verse 21, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. It is not about the place. It is about the heart of worship. You see that? And that is how this reference has come. Just wanted to give you a reference to John chapter 4, which relates to Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. You and I are placed in between these mountains, in between the blessings and curses. There's a choice that is given between the blessings and curses. Which mountain do you want to go to? Both look alike. Both are of the same height almost. Somebody tried to make a painting and they tried to create two mountains and said, you want to go to this mountain or the other mountain. And from a distance, if you see that painting, both look alike. But when you carefully look at on the other side of the mountain, on the other side of the mountain, there is green pastures on one side, on the left side, in this particular picture, if you want to relate it to. On the right side, again, the mountain looked fine, but on the other side, it was a terrible place. It was filled with fire and terrible things that could not be seen from this side. Which mountain are you going to climb? There is one where the altar was placed so that you don't need to take up that curses. The way is given. There are only two ways. Which way do you want to take? Choose you this day, which mountain you want to climb upon. Jesus Christ took the curses in order to be able to direct you to the blessings that God wants to give us. And that is what Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim talks about. Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim talks about the law. But the altar represents the grace. And the well, where from the well, Jesus Christ says in John chapter 4, rivers of living water, I'll give you living water so that you may not thirst. He was referring to that well. Who is that? Jesus Christ is that well, not the Jacob's well. You see that? It's so wonderful. When I was talking to a few of us, we had the desire how wonderful it will be to just physically go see it. Just seeing the pictures itself makes us so wonderfully being able to appreciate the word of God. Back to Joshua, book of Joshua. Please note it down, the third point. The third point, which is, please note it down, Gibeon. The third enemy, which is the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are all quite interrelated, my dear. It's very hard to distinguish one from the other. But according to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3, it is very clear that there are things of this world that attract us as an enemy. There are the things of this flesh which we are born in sin that gives us a desire from within. And also there is temptations that come to us from the devil. The Gibeon, that's the next city that we are going to look at. And we see here in Joshua chapter 9, just want to let you know what has happened thus far. They were victorious over Jericho. They were victorious over Ai. And now they had to be able to face another city, which is Gibeon. What is this Gibeon? Jericho was one of the cities which was like a front-end city. So they attacked that. They were able to be victorious. God enabled them to be victorious. God gave them the victory. And then God gave them the victory over flesh, the things of the flesh, internal things that had to be taken away through Ai. And now there's another city called Gibeon. If you just quickly go to chapter 10 and verse 2, it tells about what kind of a city Gibeon is. Anyone, can you read Joshua chapter 10 and verse 2? You see that? Gibeon was a great city. It was like one of the royal cities. It was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. That is the description of Gibeon. Okay, don't get confused with Gideon. Gideon is one of the judges. We will look at that character when we go to the next book, which is Judges. But Gibeon is a city where the Gibeonites lived. And they were, according to Joshua chapter 10 and verse 2, it was a great city, a royal city, greater than Ai. Men were mighty men. They were strong. And so we see how they had come and faced Joshua and the people of Israel. Jericho was covered with walls. It was shut down because they knew that the sons of Israel were coming. And God enabled those walls to be thrown down, the challenges to be thrown down in order to be able to capture that city. Ai, God wanted the internal issues to be gone. Now the enemy comes. Who is this enemy? Gibeons were the next place that they would have gone and attacked. But you know what they did? See how the enemy subtly comes. It's not always that they protect themselves and we go attack. Sometimes the enemy comes to us. And we see here that verse 3 of chapter 9, inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. They got to know, oh man, these guys are getting victorious over Jericho and Ai. Let me tell you, from a spiritual life also, sometimes we refer to previous victories. But God is concerned of your present challenges, how you can be victorious over your present challenges. Because if we live on the past glory, we may not be able to face the enemy in front of us. So here we see, they acted craftily. Joshua chapter 9 and verse 4. They acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn out sacks and donkeys. So I'll tell you what happened. These people tried to disguise themselves. You know what disguise means? They tried to act as if they are people from a far off land, which is beyond the Jordan. They disguised themselves. They wanted to deceive the sons of Israel. Gibeon represents the devil. Why? Because devil doesn't not always comes as a fearful one. Sometimes he comes very subtly, craftily. Craftily he tries to get into the party. Not always try to attack. Sometimes he comes with a stealth mode. You know, tries to don't let them know. Because according to the law that was given through Moses, if they are from the far off land, you can try to be able to work different from what it is in that land of Canaan. If they are people of Canaan, you attack them and destroy them. So they got to hear about all of it and they tried to act with deception. They said, we came off from the far off land. We heard about how you have won over Sihon and Og of Bashan, which is on the other side of Jordan when Moses was alive. They had victories on the east side of Jordan. Now they are in the west side. Though they heard about the victories on the west side of Jericho and Ai, they didn't refer to it. They were talking about the far off land because they wanted to let Joshua and the sons of Israel think that they have come from a far off land. And they said, we want to work with you. We want to have covenant with you. Why don't you make us a part of your group? And we see here, when you keep reading it, Joshua asks a question. Who are you? Verse 8. Where did you come from? He did not send spies at that time to really see where they had come from. He just believed the words of these Gibeonites. Because their words, their look, they were like sheep in wolf's clothing. In other words, if I may. They looked just as those they were saying. And so Joshua didn't even go beyond verifying, or just like he sent spies earlier, he did not go after them or find out how they came, which path they had taken. And in all this, we see that they were deceived. And finally, we see here that verse 15, Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them and let them live. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 altogether, please. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Because if we are not having that wisdom from God, we might rely upon our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 to 6 altogether, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. The reference to the scriptures, whether it's Old Testament or the New Testament, reminds us that if you want to be victorious, you walk in wisdom, the heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, asking God to trust in the Lord and not on your own understanding. Joshua thought, oh, these guys seem to be okay. These guys seem to be okay. The church promise for this year in 2020 reminds us, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, listen to me. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When you are facing situations in your life, ask God for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to walk in wisdom against deception. There's so much of deception that is going on. The devil is disguising himself and deceiving us to the extent of us unable to walk in wisdom. Unable to walk in wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom. Please join with me in reading Joshua chapter 9. There is one verse. Trying to look at that. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. I think we should all read this. Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14, all together, please. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions, and they did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. They did not ask of the counsel of the Lord. That really made me realize that that is the most important phrase in this particular chapter. They did not ask the counsel of the Lord. When the enemy came in disguise, they were deceived because they did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. So for you to be able to be victorious, my dear brothers and sisters, for you and I to be able to have a victorious Christian life, to be more than conquerors, note it down, the second point. Ask for counsel of the Lord. You ask for the counsel of the Lord. Lord, give me the necessary guidance. I want to trust in you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. If you don't take the counsel of the Lord, if you don't rely on the Lord, if you are not after finding out God's will in your life, in order to be able to read His word, pray and try to understand His mind, the more you spend time with God, you will know the mind of God. Not sporadic situations. Okay, now I'm in a situation, let me ask God. And after a few months and months together, we don't ask God for anything. And then after 1 year or 2 years again, what should I do? I should ask God. No. Constant reliance on the Lord, my dear. Constant dependency on the Lord helps us to be victorious over the devil. Be victorious over the evil one, my dear. Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. The moment He was baptized, He came out. He was into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat or drink, and so He had to go through that temptation from Satan in order to be able to effect Jesus, but Jesus was victorious over the evil one. And we see the Gibeonites, once they got to know that they were people from Gibeon, but because they made a covenant, when I was reading through the book of Joshua chapter 9, because they made a covenant with the people of Gibeonites, they kept the covenant. Already they did not take counsel of the Lord. That was one disobedience. But the moment they had made the covenant with the people of Gibeon, and they got to know that they were deceived, they did not want to commit another disobedience by breaking the covenant. Instead, they continued the covenant, but made them as those who are woodcutters and water barriers for the house of the Lord at a later point of time. Something I was able to learn. Yes, sometimes we are deceived in our lives. Sometimes we think that we were deceived by some people. They were like, they did not tell us who they were, and we got to know about them later on, but we already made a covenant with them. What do we do now? Learn from Gibeon. What do we do now? They continued. Verse 22, we see Joshua called, and why have you deceived us? But again, we see that they did not break again another commandment of the Lord, because the commandment of the Lord was, if you made a covenant, you cannot break it. And they kept that. And when we are going through deception in our lives, when we are going through some kind of disguise of people in our lives, be it our personal lives or our work life or our family life or wherever it is, we were deceived, for example. What do you do? What do you do? I was reading through it and I was able to understand that they kept that covenant. And later on we see during the time of King David, how these Gibeonites were later being able to have a change. I think probably the more they were with the people of Israel, they kind of understood who this God is, probably, I'm sure, hopefully, that these people had a change of their hearts as well at a later point of time. But God enabled them to be able to keep up that covenant in spite of being deceived. So my dear brothers and sisters, I think this is very important for us to be able to learn the importance of keeping the covenant and maintaining it in spite of the fact that we are deceived. And we see in chapter 10 that other kings from the south, five kings, they understood that the Gibeonites tried to make peace with Joshua. So they wanted to come and attack Joshua and actually attack Joshua and the Gibeonites. And so Joshua goes and tries to win over the battle against the five kings when they tried to come to Gibeon. And we see here this time that they relied on the Lord to the extent of hearing Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." Let me tell you, maybe we have gone through a situation when we were deceived, and we are going through that guilt of trying to make a covenant with the Gibeonites. And so probably we may be thinking that we have led a defeated life. In other words, I wish I had not done it. So don't delve in the past, my dear. But the Bible says the devil wants to use your weakness to be able to keep on reminding, hey, did I tell you, see how you were deceived now? Now you are done. You are doomed. And so the devil comes back with much force, with five kings coming and attacking. Already you are down. Now five kings are coming to attack you. But God is a God who is a God of grace. In order to be able to pull them up, to give them victory over those five kings, southern kings. And God said, do not be afraid. Do not fear them. More and more enemies are coming. We see in verse 12. I like this portion of the scriptures as well. Joshua 10:12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Joshua spoke to the Lord. I like that. Joshua spoke to the Lord. Prayer. Initially, if you see, they did not take counsel of the Lord, and so they were deceived. But they didn't live in the defeat. Joshua spoke to the Lord. And then he said, "O son, stand still." You know that particular story probably. For one day, God did not let the sun go down. Or in other words, it was daylight all through for one day. And it says, verse 14, "There was no day like that day before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Wow. God can do wonders. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He is what he is. Sun could stand still for one day. Verse 13, towards the end, it says about a whole day. God can do wonders, my dear. The God who divided the Red Sea, the God who divided the Jordan River, the God who brought the Jericho walls down, the God who made these people to be victorious over the enemies, the world, the flesh, the fleshly desires that people of like Achan had when they were trying to attack Ai. And even through Gibeon, unable to have the wisdom to be able to distinguish between good and evil. In spite of all of it, God heard the voice of a man. God heard, there was no day like that before. But God listened to the voice of a man. God is ready to listen to your prayers, my dear. Are you a praying person? The Bible talks about prayer warriors, laboring in prayer. Epaphras in the Bible, in the New Testament. He labored in prayer. He was fighting in prayer. God listened to a man. Are you a prayer warrior, my dear? Do you spend enough time in prayer? How long did you spend in the last week in prayer to the Lord, personally, as a family, as a church? How wonderful it would be to talk about you. There was no day like that before when the Lord listened to the voice of a man or a woman. God is waiting to hear your voice. You may be a silent person in prayer, but God is waiting to listen to your voice of prayer. As I told in the past as well, when I was growing up in my house, there was a butterfly-shaped item that was put on the wall. And in that were the words written, please note it down, along with me, the third point. Prayer brings victory. Prayer changes us to the extent of God using us to be victorious over the evil one. Prayer brings victory. Faith brings victory. Word brings victory. Prayer brings victory. Victory over the world. Victory over the flesh. Victory over the evil one. Maybe you and I are unable to experience this, and God is reminding each one of us to be victorious, to be more than conquerors. Maybe you're going through some temptation in your life. Maybe you're going through defeat in your life because of somebody deceiving you, because of somebody trying to tempt you to the extent of falling into sin. What are you doing? Do you rely on God to the extent of having faith in Him that He can break the walls of Jericho? That you can stretch your sword like Joshua, as long as he stretched his sword, the people of Ai were defeated. And then he prayed unto God. God listened to a voice of man. And then we see here, the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord is fighting for you. If you have the faith and the word of God being filled in you to the extent of constantly being in the attitude of prayer in your life, you can experience victory. Otherwise, we will remain in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness, unable to cross the Jordan River to have a victorious Christian life. And then second half of Joshua, chapter 10, talks about victories over the southern kingdom. And chapter 11 talks about victories over the northern kingdom. Listed out. And chapter 12 talks about the list of the kings and the cities that this people of Israel won over. This is a kind of a map that I want to just show you. All the portions that the land of Canaan on the west side of Jordan and the east side under the leadership of Moses, they have occupied this land, Sihon and Og, the Amorites area, which 2.5 tribes of Israel occupy on the right side, on the left side, completely from Kadesh Barnea all the way to Sidon near the mountains of Lebanon. All these areas they have gone through. And God made every city and the king that Joshua and the sons of Israel became victorious about. Read the book of Joshua chapter 12. Maybe you read it. But when I was reading through it, God reminded me one more thing about the kind of lessons that you and I need to learn. The last verse of Joshua chapter 12. In all, 31 kings. In all, 31 kings. You see that? 31 kings Joshua was victorious upon. By number, by name. Why? Why was it listed? Sometimes we need to list our victories. List down the victories. Every day. For 31 days of the week. The 31 kings that were defeated. Take a journal and write down. I was tempted, but God gave me victory. Victory over this aspect. Victory over this aspect. How wonderful it will be, my dear. To note down, God listed those kings. Listing down the victories, let me tell you, that gives you power over the enemy. Write it down. Be victorious. I want to quickly help us to read some of the verses and we'll close. Quickly. Joshua chapter 11. Some of the verses that God reminded me, I highlighted it. Whatever I'm learning, I'm sharing with you, my dear. So that you also can not only be the hearer of the word of God, but also the doer of the word of God. How wonderful it will be to be victorious Christians. Every believer in Christ, every family, in spite of the struggles you are going through, every day, the 31 days of the month, you can be victorious. Just like the 31 kings that are mentioned here. Join with me some of the verses from Joshua chapter 11. All together, please read. At that time, Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah and all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. And Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their division by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. Joshua came, Joshua took, Joshua gave. Our spiritual Joshua, our heavenly Joshua, he came. He utterly destroyed by dying for us on the cross of Calvary. He took those in possession of the evil one and he gave it as an inheritance. Joshua came, Joshua took, Joshua gave. Jesus came, Jesus took, Jesus gave. He came into this world to win over the things that we are struggling with. He came and died for us on the cross of Calvary to be victorious over the evil one. And he took each one of us into his fold and gave us the gift of eternal life, the inheritance. We are going to study about the inheritance in future weeks, God willing, from Joshua chapter 13 onwards, how the inheritance was given, divided among the sons of Israel. And then the land rested from war. Please read with me a few more verses. I'm sorry. I want to stress upon some spiritual significances of what we are learning. Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. All together, please. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Hebrews 4, 8 to 11. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who had entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Our spiritual Joshua, heavenly Joshua, has come to give us rest. He has come to give us rest. And finally, let us read Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. As the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded to Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. He left nothing undone. I love the way in which the scriptures talk about. Joshua did everything. He was obedient. He was obedient to the extent of completing the purpose for which he was sent. John chapter 19 and verse 30. Altogether, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. Joshua left nothing undone, means he finished. Our spiritual Joshua, heavenly Joshua, he finished it on the cross of Calvary. In few days from now, many of the Christian world tend to remember the Lent season, remembering what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, how he went through the suffering for you and I's sake, to the extent of remembering the 40 days that he was in wilderness probably, how he was going through the temptations in his life, and how he was victorious over the devil. 40 days after he was baptized, he was in the wilderness and he was able to be victorious. I don't know if any of you have that practice of following the Lent or not. That's not what I'm asking. But all I'm saying is, are you able to be victorious over the evil one? Not just for these 40 days, but every day of our life. If you can do these 40 days, wonderful, please. Make it a habit to the order to be able to remember that, Lord, through this season that I'm going to remember for the next 40 days, apart from the Sundays, till Easter time, I want to remember what Christ has done for me on the cross of Calvary. He has finished the work. He has finished the work. Joshua left nothing undone. What a wonderful statements these are. We might miss on these small phrases and unable to understand the whole counsel of God as to how God revealed that through Jesus Christ when he finished it on the cross. So may the Lord enable us to focus our attention on Jesus Christ and his passion and his suffering. Throughout the next weeks, God willing, to be able to remember that he finished it. There is nothing that you and I need to do. He finished and gave us rest. May the Lord bless this word.